All right. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to the Boca Podcast. I am your host, Nathan Holritz, and it is a privilege to be here with you today. Now, some of you may know that this is actually going to be, sadly, the last episode of the Boca Podcast, and we'll be talking a little bit more about that here in just a little bit. But as you join me for today's show, for this live stream today, I hope you'll be part of the conversation. Maybe you can comment on your experience listening to the Boca Podcast over the last 7+ years, over 600 episodes. We've had thousands of listeners, millions of downloads. And while those stats are extremely exciting, it's probably the most fulfilling to actually hear from our individual listeners talking about how the show has made an impact in their lives over the years. Been able to look at the reviews on Apple Podcasts. Certainly, we've gotten individual messages from photographers. And even the comments this last week when I posted about this last episode were extremely humbling and encouraging at the same time. Look, at the end of the day, as a business owner and somebody who builds brands, the numbers matter. But what's more important to me than anything, really, is adding value in some form or fashion to the lives of those that I'm working with, my clients, those in my industry. And so it's been extremely fulfilling to know that the show has made an impact on the lives of photographers over the last 7+ years. It's crazy. We started this back in 2016. Now, originally when I started the show, I started it to reconnect with the photography industry. I'd gone through some things personally and had pulled back from the industry for some time, and I wanted to reconnect, to have conversations with photographers again, and it gave me the opportunity to do just that. Really, really incredible opportunity. But in addition to doing that, to having the opportunity to create content that would add value to the lives of photographers, of course, it also gave me the opportunity to soft sell PE, Photographer's Edit, my company. Although I have to say, photographers have given me a hard time over the years that they're like, Nate, you need to sell PE more. You need to sell Photographer's Edit more. So I'm going to do it one last time here today, photographersedit.com. In fact, I'll pop this up on the screen for those of you that may be live streaming, photographersedit.com for all your custom editing needs. If you are a wedding photographer or a portrait photographer, commercial photographer, and you're doing your own editing right now, shame on you. You could be doing much better things with your time. We're going to actually talk about that here in a little bit. But you can outsource your editing to Photographer's Edit so that you can get rid of that busy work, get out from behind the computer, and get on to doing things that will actually help grow your business while also doing some things that are fun besides work. And how about spending time with the important people in your life as well? So photographersedit.com, photogsedit, PHOTOGSEDIT on Instagram as well. And make sure that you check out Photographer's Edit. But back to the Boca Podcast. The podcast ultimately had the premise, our intention with the podcast was to help photographers not just build businesses. We talked a lot about business concepts, marketing concepts, et cetera, but ultimately how to build sustainable businesses. Because here's the thing, and very much in line with what I was just talking about with Photographer's Edit, we can work 40, 60, 80 hours a week. We can stay up until all hours of the night. But for what? At the end of the day. Sure, we got to make a living, a baseline, right? But then why? Why are you spending so much time working, missing out on the opportunity to do other things, interesting, exciting, adventurous things in life, to connect with the important people in your life? And ultimately, if you're missing out on those things and all you ever do is work, you're going to very easily get burnt out. And that is a business model that is not sustainable. So what I wanted to do was help photographers not just build successful businesses, but successful businesses that were sustainable, that didn't burn them out in the process, that would enable them the freedom and the flexibility to be able to do a variety of things in life besides work. And certainly one of those things would include spending time with the important people in your life. Look, I can speak from personal experience, and certainly I've had the opportunity to observe this, but it's easy to get distracted by work and allow work to distract us from the important relationships in our lives. And at the end of the day, that's all you got. So make sure that you are building a business and a business model that enables you to have that freedom and that flexibility. But that has been one of our primary intentions, and really ultimately the primary premise for the podcast at the end of the day is helping photographers build sustainable businesses. And so if you go back and listen to the last 600+ episodes, you'll see that there is that theme running through it. How do you create freedom and flexibility? How do you approach this particular element of running a business more efficiently so you can have more freedom and flexibility? And I'm proud of the fact that we've been able to bring that theme and that information to photographers over the last 7+ years. The other thing that you'll notice, and I'll just mention this here before we move on, but you may have noticed that most of our conversations on each of these episodes are relatively simple in nature. And here's what I mean by that. You're not listening to a Boca podcast episode and thinking, man, this is just so intellectually deep. This is something that's so earth-shattering that I've never heard before. Nate's just a brilliant, brilliant human being. That's probably not what you're thinking most of the time that you listen to a Boca podcast episode. Here's the thing, though. What I've learned over the last 44 years of life is that most of the heavy lifting in life and in business, the principles, the ideas that enable us to get the furthest are not complicated principles. It's just that we don't take them to heart, number one, and apply them consistently, number two. So while you may listen to a podcast episode and say, well, I mean, Nate's a decent conversationalist and he's really nice to his guest. And I enjoy listening to the podcast. It's become a regular part of my daily or weekly routine. But this is not a principle that I hadn't heard before. I mean, I've heard this before. I've heard this at workshops and conferences and other podcasts. Yes, sure, potentially. But the question is, are you applying those principles consistently in your business? And so my intention really for so much of the podcast was to bring key principles and ideas, not necessarily that you haven't heard before, but presented in a really simple and easy to follow way that you could then go apply them to your life and to your business. And the key is that you apply them consistently. Consider it like the 80-20 principle, right? 20%, the 20% doing 80% of the lifting. And that is what the podcast is really about. So I share that context, but whether you're a new listener to the show or you've listened for many, many years, I hope that as we're looking back over the last 7 years today in this last episode, that you can not only see the intention, but you've ultimately gotten a lot from the show as a result of these intentions that I just shared. Now, you may say, Nate, why are you ending the show right now? And honestly, the main reason that I'm ending the show at this point has to do with my resources or available resources, time, effort, energy, what I have to give and where I see the biggest ROI for that time, effort, and energy. As I mentioned, the podcast is so much about adding value and conversations with other photographers, and that's fun, but I have to consider the amount of time investment that it takes to put this show together. And right now I have not only Photographer's Edit to run, but Cheezoo, CHEEZOO.com. In fact, if you haven't heard anything about this brand previously, you can go to Cheezoo.com/photography-industry. I've got that up on the screen for those of you that are not actually watching the live stream. Cheezoo.com/photography-industry. And I'll pop that page up on the screen here really quickly for you that are in the photography industry. You may be curious about what I'm involved in with Cheezoo, the premise, the thought process behind it. It's kind of a fun page, actually. It takes you through the history of Cheezoo and what we've gone through to get to this place now. This whole process started back in 2015. So there's a lot there. There's a video at the top of the page that gives you additional context as well. And I would just encourage you to go take a look at that and learn a little bit about that project. But I'm going to be focusing my entrepreneurial efforts, my time and effort and energy on Cheezoo and then Photographer's Edit as well. And so that's the simple reason. It's a sad thing. 7 years. I mean, this is, if anything feels like my baby, this is probably the closest thing to that. I'm most emotionally invested in this project, but I do have to decide. In fact, this is very much in line with what we're going to talk about today. I have to decide about where to spend my time and where to direct my attention and my energy. And for the time being, moving forward, I'm going to be focused on Cheezoo and on Photographer's Edit. So on that note, what I thought I'd do today here for this last episode is to review what I think are some of the most important principles or ideas that we discussed on the podcast over the last 7 years. And for those of you who are live streaming, by the way, don't hesitate to say hello. Lindsay said, love being a part of this. Excited to see how you grow. Thanks, Lindsay, so much. I really appreciate the kind words. And for all of those of you who commented so graciously and kindly on my Instagram and Facebook post this past week as well, I really appreciate that. But if you're part of the live stream today, whether you're a photographer or not, What I'm about to share with you is actually highly applicable, not just to photographers and business owners, but to any and everyone. Because one of the things I didn't mention a few minutes ago when I was talking about my intention and the education, the style of education that we brought on the Boca podcast, is that most of the principles we discuss weren't just applicable to photography business owners, but also to business owners in general. And then not even always to business owners, but just to human beings. Because what's interesting is if we get our personal selves in order, what we can then bring to the business world is so much more. We got to start here. And so a lot of what we talked about over time has been about those principles that help us become better human beings, which then enable us to become better business owners. And actually all the principles that I want to kind of rehash and review today on the show are just like that. So I hope you'll stay with me. Sean says, hello, Sean. Thanks so much. Sean's actually the most prolific guest on the Boca podcast over the last 7 years. I think Sean was on the show 6 or 7 times. Between individual conversations with him, and then we did at least one or two with one or two other people as well. So shout out to Sean. Thank you, Sean. And for those of you that don't know KISS, make sure you go check out KISS.us for your album needs. Thanks, Sean, for joining the conversation. Let's get into this because I don't want to draw this out too long. I know how easily I could probably get drawn in. But let's start with two ideas that you've probably heard me talk, especially if you're a regular listener. You've heard me talk quite a bit about over the last over the last 2 or 3 years in particular. But these are two words, choice and belief. Choice and belief. In fact, I actually have the Japanese kanji on the inside of my wrist. This side, for those of you that are seeing the live stream, I'm lifting up my wrist up to the camera. But the Japanese word sentaku, which is choice in Japanese, and then the Japanese kanji kakushin, which is belief. Choice and belief. Sentaku and kakushin. Now, in a world and in a culture, and again, this is not just about the photography industry, this is our culture in general. In a culture where we talk endlessly about the significance of empowerment, it's unfortunate and ironic that we simultaneously behave in a very reactionary manner to our circumstances, to our experiences, to the people around us. We react to those experiences rather than choosing how to think about those experiences and then adjusting our belief system behind those experiences, enabling us to make better choices moving forward. Let's talk a little bit about choice first. And I just want to read a little bit of what I wrote about this idea of choice. Rather than simply reacting to circumstances in life, I have the ability to choose to take ownership in the beliefs and decisions that will create the best life for myself. And keep in mind, not just for yourself, but also for those closest to you. I have the ability to choose what I believe about a person or situation. This ability to frame circumstances means that I have the ability to choose how I feel about circumstances. Again, in a world where we talk endlessly about empowerment, but I'm guilty of it too. It's easy to fall into this kind of reactive mode where we're allowing the circumstances around us and the people around us to ultimately dictate how we feel, when the reality is that we have the ability to choose, to take ownership, to take responsibility for how we frame those circumstances. And then we have the ability and the opportunity and the privilege to choose the decisions that we make going forward to create a better life for ourselves. That's an amazing, in fact, it really can't be overstated. It is not just a privilege and an opportunity. Well, it is actually, it's both those things. It is a privilege and an opportunity. It's an opportunity, but even more so a privilege that we live in a world where we have the freedom of choice. We can choose how to frame our experiences, how to look at the people around us and frame how they treat us. We get to choose how to do those things, and as a result, drive our emotions and then as a result, our actions. But very closely tied to that is the concept of belief. And let me read this about belief. Outside of my base physiological needs, everything that I do on a day-to-day basis is driven by a belief or series of beliefs. I sit in a chair because I believe it will hold me up. I chase a potential partner because I believe they are the one. I take that job or start that business because I believe it will bring fulfillment. I have the ability to frame a situation, experience, or person as I choose, like we talked about. The question is whether my beliefs enable the life that I want. Powerful beliefs will drive emotion, which will drive action. In addition, understanding the belief system of others will enable me to engage them on a deeper, more meaningful level and more effectively add value to their life. That's a lot, I realize. So let's kind of break it down a little bit. First of all, people talk about how love makes the world go around. That's kind of the cliche saying, right? But the reality is that even before love, in fact, what enables love is the is belief, is our belief system. And what's interesting about that is, you know, a lot of times people associate the idea of belief or beliefs with religion. And certainly it's a component of religious conversation, but beliefs literally drive everything that we do on a day-to-day basis. I, for example, might sit down on the couch that's over here to my left, and I'm believing that that couch is going to hold me up. And a lot of these so-called beliefs are subconscious, right? Or unconscious. I don't think about whether or not that chair or that couch or the bed is going to hold me up. I just let my weight go onto it. And fortunately, that belief is accurate. Maybe I pursue a particular business opportunity because I believe that it'll bring me fulfillment related to my personal goals. There are endless situations where I do something because of a belief, again, whether it's conscious or subconscious, but what we have to do is differentiate a couple of things. Number one, is that belief objectively accurate, right? It's very easy for me to develop a belief system, but if I'm doing so blindly, it could very well get me in trouble. And so that's a loaded conversation in of itself, but certainly something to consider. The second component, though, of this conversation around belief is it enabling me, is this belief or set of beliefs enabling me to live the life that I want? And that's a really important thing to consider, right? I have a belief or I have a set of beliefs that drive my behavior on a day-to-day basis. Are these beliefs enabling me to create the life that I want? And if not, I had then, going back to the concept of choice, have the ability to change, to choose, to change the belief or set of beliefs driving my behavior in order to then enable the life that I want. Choice and belief. These concepts, I wish I could do them justice in the way that I'm communicating about them, but these concepts are so extremely powerful and yet, unfortunately, taken for granted on a day-to-day basis. And again, I've been guilty of it as well. But I thought, you know what? Let me put them on my arms. I get tattoos on my arms. Keep it front and center. In fact, when I got this tattoo, these tattoos done, the tattoo artist said to me, he's like, you know, normally we face the tattoos the other way. So like when you hold your arms out to somebody, they can read them. It's actually facing them, upright facing them. And I said, well, no, actually, this is for me. I've got these tattoos here for me. These are reminders for me that I have the incredible privilege and opportunity to make a choice. I get to choose how I think, which then translates to the way that I feel, which then translates to the way that I act. And coupled with that, of course, is the ability that I have to choose my belief system. And my belief system goes hand in hand, of course, with my ability to choose. If I believe that I have the opportunity to choose my thoughts, which then affects my emotions, which then affects my actions, if I have that strong enough belief, then I will begin to act on that and I will go and create the life that I want. If I don't buy into these concepts, then I'll remain in this kind of reactive state, allowing life and circumstances and people to dictate how I feel and how I act. And while you may have a decent life functioning in that kind of pseudo reality, you're certainly not going to be able to accomplish all that you'd like, and your life will in one form or another fall short. And I don't want that for you. I want to encourage you to take advantage of this incredible privilege and opportunity that we have to both choose, again, the Japanese word sentaku, and then believe, to change our beliefs, to decide what our beliefs are going to be. And of course, that's the Japanese word kakushin. I know it's a little bit of an awkward angle here on the camera, but kakushin. So choice and belief. Now, this is a natural segue to one of the most popular points of conversation. I said that we were going to review some of the most popular topics or principles, ideas discussed on the show today. Choice and belief are certainly one at the top, but something that's come up quite a bit in the last couple of years in particular, and I'm guilty of being the one that has brought this up, but is the concept of finding ourselves. And by the way, all of these things, if you think about it, are related back to our ability to create an effective business. So I don't want you to get too confused about why I might be talking about this on a photography podcast. Again, these principles are applicable both to our personal lives and to our business. But when we talk about choice and belief, we're talking about taking ownership and responsibility for creating the life that we want, for creating the thoughts, the emotions, and then the actions that will enable us to have the life that we want. On the flip side of that conversation, though, is something that's become very popular in our culture, which is the idea of finding ourselves. And in conjunction with this, it's become a very popular thing to take personality type tests and Enneagram tests to, quote unquote, find ourselves. I want to figure out who I am. And it really stands in the face of this idea of leveraging choice and belief. If I have the ability to choose my thoughts, which then affects my emotions, which then affects my behavior, a personality test or an Enneagram test might give me some idea of where I'm at currently, but it has nothing to do with who I am because I get to ultimately choose who I want to be. This idea of finding ourselves is a very reactive mentality. It kind of gives up responsibility to almost like this outside entity who is going to show us, quote unquote, ourself. And it's based on multiple false premises. First of all, we as human beings are not static. So the idea that we're going to find some static version of ourselves at some point in the timeline of our life, and the angels are going to sing and the lights are going to come on and the music's going to play in the background are going to be like, oh man, I found myself, is such a weird premise. Because if you think back 6 months, 6 years, 16 years, you're not the same person that you were. If you are, you're a robot or you're dead, and that's a whole different conversation. But the reality is we change as human beings. And of course, we have the ability to change as human beings. So the idea that we're going to find ourselves is a really broken premise because we are not static. We are dynamic as human beings, and we have the ability to choose the belief system that will enable us to continue to develop as human beings and build the life that we want. So finding ourselves doesn't make sense for that reason. And then this idea that I'm going to happen upon this nebulous entity that is going to present, quote unquote, myself to me at some point, again, it gives up the notion of responsibility and ownership. Rather than creating the life that I want to, I'm waiting for some other entity to present that to me. And I don't know where we got this idea, but again, it's a false premise. It's based on nothing. And I'll go ahead and add a third one to this. If we're talking about going and finding ourselves, it would suggest that we're lost. Are you lost? You're where you're sitting or standing or driving or wherever you might be right now, but you know where you're at. You're there. It's not a question of being lost. The question is, who do you want to be? And again, if you own the privilege and the responsibility and ultimately the privilege of being able to make choices about your belief system and creating the life that you want to, then this idea of finding yourself is irrelevant. It's not important anymore. You have the ability to choose to create the life that you want. You have the ability to choose the belief system that will drive your emotions, that will drive your actions, and you can go create the life that you want. Stop blaming that on somebody else. Stop giving that responsibility to some romantic, nebulous concept. Take ownership for that. Decide today who you want to be, and then figure out how to make that happen. That's on you. And I know that, man, it's really an overwhelming concept to think about, right? Even for myself, somebody who might be able to see this in relatively black and white terms, the reality is it's kind of overwhelming when we think about the responsibility is actually on us. I can't rely on someone or something or some other concept. It's on me. I get to choose that. But then that's the beauty of it as well. I get to choose that. I get to choose the thought processes that result in emotions, that result in action. And I believe that. And so now I'm going to go live that. And so rather than going to try to, quote unquote, find yourself, because you're not lost, make a decision today about who you want to be and then go figure out how to make that happen. That's where it's at. And it doesn't mean that you have to stay in that same course forever and ever. If you need to, course correct. A lot of times there's this kind of fear of FOMO, right? If I make this decision, will I miss out on this other thing? No worries. Just make a decision. You can course correct later as you need to. But take the ownership, the responsibility, and I promise to you that, kind of bringing it back around to the earlier point, that sense of empowerment that, again, we like to talk about endlessly in our culture, but not actually do anything about, in this case, you can actually take ownership for it. You can take ownership and responsibility for creating the life that you want and go make that thing happen, and that will make you feel more empowered than ever. So that then brings me to the next, one of the most popular points of conversation over the last 7 years. And not only here on the podcast, but I've had the opportunity to speak on this quite a bit at workshops, seminars, conferences over the years as well. But that is the idea of a big picture view. And you might say, Nate, okay, so I understand your points and your premises about belief and choice and the significance of those concepts. And I don't really buy into the finding yourself idea either, at least not now after you broke that down for me. But I need something tangible here. How do I go then decide who I want to be? That's such a grandiose idea. And there's just, it seems like there's so many moving parts. I get it. No worries. Establish a big picture view. And this idea, this phrase, big picture view, is a concept that I got from Julie Morgenstern years ago. I read a book called Time Management from the Inside Out. And she said that the most successful people in life have a big picture view that enables them to rise above the chaos and maintain perspective. I can liken it to an experience that I had a number of years ago going hang gliding. And I had had this opportunity to drive up and down this mountain road a number of times here in the Chattanooga area, Chattanooga, Tennessee, where I live. And I had driven up and down this road many times. And my perspective driving on this mountain road was limited to the next corner, the top of the next hill. But when I got to go hang gliding, and Chattanooga is actually home to one of the most, or one of the largest hang gliding parks in the Southeast, as far as I know. But got to go hang gliding. I'm up at like 2,000 feet or so. And we're actually flying above the mountain, my perspective becomes much broader and bigger. I can see further down the road. I have that bigger picture view. Having a big picture view in life enables us to have clarity and direction, enables us to have filters through which we can run our decisions. And again, for those of you that are like, Nate, I thought this was a business podcast. Okay, we'll make it about business for a second. You want to develop a business model. Or you want to refine your business model. You want to decide what genre of photography to go into, or you want to decide how to set up your prices. Rather than asking other photographers what you should do, or reading an article or listening to a photographer, really your decisions about the business model that you develop should come from your own big picture view. You get to create that so-called big picture view, and I'm going to share with you what components make up that big picture view. So number one, values. Values are what make up a big picture view, or the first component of what makes up a big picture view. Now, Tony Robbins, in his book, let's see, it's called Reawaken the Giant Within. I cannot recommend this book enough. It's only about 100 pages long. It's an ebook. It's free. You can Google it. We'll make sure to link to it in the show notes at bocapodcast.com once this episode goes out to all the platforms tomorrow. Tomorrow, December 12th, we'll link to that in the show notes. But if you just Google Reawaken the Giant Within Tony Robbins, you should be able to find that PDF. It's a free download. It is probably the most powerful psychological handbook for life that you'll ever read for two reasons. Number one, Tony writes in a way that is easy to understand these principles. It's only 100 pages long, so it's short. You're not going to get bogged down by it. And in the book, there are a variety of psychological principles that will, if you apply them, enable you to live a much more powerful life. It's really a fascinating book and doesn't get near enough credit. But in that particular book, he talks about the significance of values. So I would refer you to that book to get more context around this conversation. But values very simply are a state, an ideal state of being that brings you the highest sense of satisfaction and fulfillment in your life. For me, I have 10 values in particular. And the cool thing about these values are that they act as a filter for my day-to-day behavior, day-to-day decisions, in my personal life, in my business as well. And it gives me a sense of clarity and direction, kind of a North Star, something that I can strive to live by on a day-to-day basis. And taking it a step further, it's one of the reasons that I don't participate in this process of New Year's resolutions. Because I've established a set of values for myself that drive pretty much everything for me, my personal and my business life. And while I certainly will set specific business goals from time to time, not necessarily at New Year's, or maybe specific financial goals for my personal life from time to time, I don't need to do that on a regular basis because the driving factor are my values. Now, just to give you a brief idea of what these values might look like. And again, I would encourage you to read Tony's book, Reawaken the Giant Within. We will link to that in the show notes at bocapodcast.com. But values for me right now, I have 10 in particular. The first is a sense of ownership. And keep in mind, these are states of being. When I feel ownership. And I define that as anytime I own the privilege, power, freedom, and responsibility to choose my beliefs, referring back to our earlier conversation. How I frame a situation, experience, or person, which affects my thoughts, feelings, and actions. Ownership, My number one value. Number two, thankfulness. Anytime I'm showing or expressing appreciation. Number three, health. Anytime I take care of my body in a way that helps me stay lean, alert, and energetic. Number four, connection. Anytime I have the opportunity to connect with someone through service, conversation, and or touch, of course, with my partner. Number five, flexibility. The ability to maximize time for the sake of connection, adventure, and health. Proactivity. Number six, anytime I'm moving forward and are taking initiative. Intentional. Very much related to that concept of ownership as well. Charisma, anytime I'm engaging with people in a spirit of presence, power, and warmth. Number eight, reliability. Anytime I'm keeping my word, am consistent in my values, and or am consistent in my emotional state. Number nine, growth. Anytime I behave with curiosity, try something new, push myself outside my comfort zone, or improve as an individual. And then number 10, simplicity. Anytime I minimize the number of moving parts of an effort or words spoken, written for the sake of the 80-20 principle. So those are my values personally. I would encourage you in the process of an effort to establishing your big picture view to go establish a clear and distinct set of values for yourself. Your ideal states of being, those states of being that bring you the most, the biggest sense or the deepest sense of satisfaction and joy in your life consistently, those are your values. Be clear about them. Keep them front and center. I review mine regularly. And again, that's in part because I want to make sure that I am keeping them at the forefront, that I'm striving to live those consistently on a day-to-day basis. But the cool thing about your values is they do act as a filter for the decisions that you make in your life, personally and professionally. Again, relating it back to business, you're developing a business model. You need to be clear first about your values. That's the first component of a big picture view. The second component, though, are goals. Now, you might have certain personal goals or business goals, and that's great. They're going to be probably very subjective, actually, from person to person. But there are two specific types of goals that you need to make sure are part of your big picture view. Number one, that's your financial goals. On a baseline, you need to make a certain amount of money to pay the bills. And then I would hope that you're also setting aside money to save or invest, that you're also setting aside enough money to play a little bit, buy a toy or two, go on some trips, have some fun. By the way, I mean, we're lucky enough to live in a first world culture. Most of you listening in can probably say so, where we have the freedom and the opportunity to do such things. We should take advantage of that. It's one of the beauties of being an entrepreneur in 2023 is that we have the opportunity to not only work in an incredible job, a passion, a business that we've created, but also to go do other things besides work. And so financial goals, again, baseline to pay the bills, but then also to set money aside for the long term and also to have a lot of fun along the way. And those are your financial goals. Nothing complicated, but you need to actually be intentional in establishing what those goals are, clearly set them out and make sure that you go and apply them. Number one, that's your financial goals. But then the other type of goal that you should make sure you have are time goals. Because you could say, Nate, I want to make, call it $500,000 a year. I'm going to make $500,000 a year, but you find that you have to work 60, 80 hours a week consistently in order to do that, kind of defeats the purpose, right? Again, there's more to life than work. For anybody who says otherwise, there's some version of escapism going on, and that's a whole different conversation. I will say, to each his own, if you get true happiness from just doing work all the time, you're not hurting anybody, okay, I guess go for it. But I think it's a much deeper conversation than that. There is just so much more to enjoy in life than sitting behind a computer and getting work done. And I would encourage you to make sure that when you're setting your financial goals, that you also set certain time goals, which prioritize freedom and flexibility outside of work, to do things that you enjoy doing, spending time with the important people in life, to make sure that you create some freedom and flexibility in your life. So maybe your goal was $500,000 a year, call it $100,000 a year. Your goal is $100,000 a year, but you realize in order to do that, you have to work 60 hours a week, and that's just not okay for your big picture goals and your values. So you're going to adjust your financial goal. Maybe it's 80 grand a year, but you only have to work 25 hours a week. That seems like an incredible balance to me. So make sure that you first establish your big picture view, you establish your values, you establish your financial goals, and then third, you establish your time goals along with that. Important to have the balance of both of those things. So that's your big picture view. Now, we can talk about freedom and flexibility. The reality is at the end of the day, we still have to work, right? Or we get to work, I should say. We get to work as entrepreneurs. There's still work to be done. So then the question is, within that work, how do we maximize the amount of freedom and flexibility that we have as entrepreneurs while still getting the work done that we need to in order to continue to build our business, to move our business forward, to accomplish our goals. And this brings me to the next one of the most popular principles that I shared over the years at the Boca Podcast, and that is the idea of focusing on the proactive versus the reactive. Now, you might say, Nate, what does that mean? Okay, well, for the sake of conversation context, in this conversation, proactive tasks, whether related to your personal life or your business life, proactive tasks are those tasks that enable you to reach your goals, to accomplish your goals, to build your business, to move your business forward, to get more clients. This is moving your life and business forward. Those are proactive tasks. Now, it's really important that you are honest with yourself about whether or not that thing that you're doing is proactive in nature. A lot of photographers buy into some idea that this particular thing or this particular thing, I have to be involved in order for my business to do well. And the reality is that's something you've created. It's an idea, a reality you've created in your own head. It's a construct. It's not objective reality. You don't need to edit your photos in order for your clients to be happy. That's very busy work. That's not moving your business forward. And you could be doing a lot more important things that will actually move your business forward that enable you to accomplish your goals. So editing, just one example of not being a proactive task. The proactive tasks, again, to reiterate, to review, are tasks that enable you to reach your personal goals, your business goals, enable you to move your business forward. Now, reactive tasks are those things that have to be accomplished in order for you'd have a decent existence as a human being, for you to be able to, for your business to exist, but they don't require your involvement in most cases, and they certainly don't, they're not related directly to moving your business forward, to enabling you to reach your personal goals. Take, for example, mowing the lawn. You're not going to die if your lawn doesn't get mowed. Your homeowners association might get pissed off at you, but nobody's dying if your lawn doesn't get mowed. But in order for you to have a decent existence, you probably should mow your lawn, or at least have somebody do that for you. Dishes got to be washed. You got to vacuum your carpet, whatever the case may be. There are things that have to be done in order for you to have a decent existence. They're just not tied to accomplishing your big picture goals. On a business level, very similarly, taxes have to be paid, editing has to be done. And yes, I just made those two connections or that connection. Album design, email management, etc. These are things that have to happen in order for your business to exist, but they're not tied directly to increasing your bottom line, getting more clients, accomplishing your personal goals. So those are reactive tasks. Now, here's the thing. In order for you to be able to run an effective business that continues to grow and scale, but not get burnt out in the process, have a sustainable business, to have some freedom and flexibility, you need to make sure that you get that balance of proactive to reactive tasks to about a 3-to-1 ratio, 75% proactive, 25% reactive. This will help minimize burnout. It'll enable you to move your business forward with the time that you do spend on it, and you can have the best of both worlds. So proactive versus reactive, 75-25 split, that's the goal. And what I want you to do actually is to make a list. Let's kind of establish where you're at as far as that ratio goes. Some homework. Don't do this right now because it's going to take a little bit of time. But I want you to make a list of things that you do on a day-to-day basis, just on an average day, we'll say, during the week. This could be a list that's 100 items, 150, 200 items long. But it's a list of what you do from the time that you get out of bed to the time that you get back in bed. I want you to literally list every single one of those things out. Now, after you do that, I want you to then go back and write next to each one of them, proactive or reactive. Proactive, reactive. Proactive, reactive. Is this thing enabling me to accomplish my goals, or is this something that just has to happen in order for me to have a decent existence or to exist at all as a business? Proactive, reactive. Again, the goal is 75-25 split here. And as you begin to look at that list, and maybe you have 100 items or 150 items on that list of what you do in a day on an average day. I mean everything, by the way. Whether it's showering or checking Facebook or handling email or editing or listening to music, whatever it is. I want you to list every little thing out. You're going to look at that list and you're going to be like, how in the world am I going to get this to a 75-25 split? Like, what in the world? At some point, I do want to sit and watch Netflix. That's not helping me accomplish my goals, but I just want to do that. I get it. That's fine. That's part of the deal. You get to take advantage of that freedom and flexibility. But for the most part, those reactive tasks can be minimized. We can get it down to that 3-to-1 ratio, 75-25 split. And what I want you to do is after you've taken the time to tag each one of those or right next to each one of them, proactive, reactive, I want you to go through and kind of cull that list with these three principles or these three ideas. Number one, I want you to simplify. When I think about simplicity, I think about minimal number of moving parts necessary to accomplish something well. Minimal number of moving parts necessary to accomplish something well. So first of all, you have a big, let's assume that you've already established your big picture view. This would be a good exercise to do after you establish that big picture view that we talked about earlier. Once you establish that big picture view, you now have a filter through which to run your day-to-day activities. You know, here are my big picture view. Here's my big picture view, my goals, financial goals, time goals, my values. This is what I'm trying to accomplish in the short term and the long term. This is my big picture view. Does this particular task enable me to get closer to accomplishing that big picture view? Yes or no? Pretty simple answer. And then ask that same question the next one. Ask the same question the next one. And if they are not necessary for you to, number one, accomplish your big picture view, and number two, have a decent existence as a human being or as a business owner, cross it off the list. It's as simple as that. Part of the reason I brought up this idea of big picture view over time, and I think maybe I alluded to this earlier for briefly as well, but as photographers go to build their business model, refine their business model, decide prices, genre, et cetera, sometimes it feels like a complicated decision-making process to make those decisions, to establish those things for their business. And the reality is, if you have that big picture view in place, you can use that as a filter to make the decisions. If I want to make 100 grand a year, but I only want to work 20 hours a week in order to do that, then I'm not going to shoot 80 portrait sessions a year or 50 weddings a year. Well, if I'm not going to do that, then that means I need to charge more and I need to also attach myself to the right client. These are just natural decisions that are made on a very simple, logical basis based on that big picture view. So again, very similarly, if you're trying to minimize the number of moving parts, if you're trying to simplify this list of what you do on a day-to-day basis, use that big picture view as a filter. Go through, remove anything that's not relevant to your big picture view and to a decent existence as a human being. Again, you can't stop washing the dishes, right? Maybe you can pay somebody else to do that. We'll talk about that in a second. So once you go through that list, you're going to get rid of it. As many of those things on that list as possible, you're going to simplify, minimize the number of moving parts. Then number two, I want you to look for ways to automate what you're doing on a day-to-day basis. We are lucky enough to live in 2023 where we can go out and do a Google search. And I want you to actually do this. I want you to Google search everything that is on that list. And I can almost guarantee you that likely you're going to either find a piece of software or a service that will help you get that particular thing done. Now, we're going to talk about service delegation here in just a second, but automation, there is so much software out there right now that's either free or inexpensive that will help you automate and streamline your day-to-day workflow and help you cut down on the number of hours that you're spending working so you can go do other things. Couple examples. Well, let me actually take the most obvious one. I'm still blown away by the number of people, or anytime I hear somebody talk about paper bills, like getting paper bills out of their post office box and sifting through their paper bills and paying a bill, then going and paying the bill online, when the reality is they can just set up an automatic payment online, or they can use pieces of software like Mint or Rocket Finance to help them manage their bills. There are tools out there that can help you manage these things. You should be leveraging that. Another example, Calendly. I've spent 7+ years doing this podcast and scheduling interviews. If I had manually had individual conversations with every one of the guests to schedule those calls, when are you available? I've got these 3 days. Sorry. And then they respond, no, sorry, that's not available. I can do this. Okay. So what about this day? No, that's not going to work for me. What about this day? Okay. Yeah, that day will work. What about this time? No, that time's not going to work for me. What about this time? No, that's not going to, you can imagine with, we'll call it 600 guests or so on the show, how much time I would have wasted in that process. Instead, I just send them a Calendly link. And at this point, Calendly has become more popular. Back when I started using it, it wasn't as popular. And the amount of time that I've saved over the years using a service like Calendly has been just amazing. It takes out a lot of the unnecessary work out of my day-to-day business. And here's the thing. You might not think on an individual basis that that particular task or that activity is taking up that much time, but you have to remember that that adds up. Whether it's going out to the post office box and pulling out mail and having to open the mail and sift through it, or you're having to have these individual email conversations, treating email like instant messenger and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. The amount of time wasted and the amount of focus distracted as a result of those types of activities adds up pretty quickly. And this is applicable in so many other ways as well. You have to consider and look for opportunities to streamline or automate as much of your workflow as possible. So again, I would encourage you to Google search anything that's on that list. You can likely find a software or a service that will help you get that thing done more efficiently, or even maybe it'll just hand it over altogether, which brings me to the next point, which is delegation. Really important to look for opportunities in that list for delegation as well. Now, it's important that you do have the budget necessary. You're charging enough for your services. So, for example, you have the money to be able to outsource your editing or to pay for album design or to hire an admin assistant. Make sure that that you've clearly established a budget and you know you've got room for that. But the other thing to think about too, because some photographers say, well, I could pay for this particular service, but I want to keep the cash. And while I can empathize with that thought process, it's a little bit short-sighted. What you should then instead be thinking about is, what can I now do with that time that I've gotten that could potentially increase my revenue as a result? And just taking a really simple example, if I were to outsource my editing, the average photographer who is, you know, individually adjusting images in Lightroom for themselves or in Photoshop or some combination of the above may spend 12 to 16 hours processing a wedding, for example. Let's just play it conservative and say it's only 8 hours. So you pay $250, send your wedding to get edited by a photographer's edit, and now you have this additional 8 hours. What could you do with that 8 hours that could not only make your life better, but make your business better? First of all, you don't have to sit behind the computer editing these images. While I realize a little bit of it can be fun, it ultimately becomes quite mundane, and you're spending so much time doing something that's not helping your business grow. So now that you don't have to edit that particular wedding, maybe if you're a wedding photographer, for example, you reach out to a local wedding coordinator. You say, hey, Rachel, I'd love to meet with you for coffee. I see that we might be able to work together and we could add a lot of value to each other's lives and businesses, but I don't want to just kind of jump in strictly business. I'd love to get to know you. Can I take you out to coffee? I'd love to have some conversation, hear more about your business. So you spend 2 hours of that 8 hours taking this person out to lunch or to coffee. At the end of that coffee or lunch, you say, you know what? This has been really fun. I think we could work together really, really well. But I'm not just looking to get something from you as a wedding coordinator. I'd love to make sure I'm adding value to your life too. I know you're working your website. Could I do some headshots for you? And then they're like, well, I mean, that'd be really nice. And you say, you know what? Don't worry about the cost. I just want to do this for you, add value to you, your business. Let me do headshots for you. Let me photograph your family for you. And so you spend another couple hours doing that. You're 4 hours into this 8 hours saved from one wedding of the 20, 30 weddings that you're going to shoot this year. And you're well on your way to establishing a relationship with somebody who could potentially bring thousands of dollars to your business. Amazing. And you still have 4 hours left over to go watch Netflix or ride your motorcycle or go sit in the park or go for a walk or go work out or spend time with the important people in your life. It's staggering what you can do with your time that will make your business and your life better if you're willing to, again, simplify, automate, and then ultimately delegate. So I would encourage you to do that. In closing, I've talked a lot about principles that I've shared over the years here at Photographer's Edit, at the Boca Podcast, and through Photographer's Edit as well. But I want to end on a note. You know, I've had a question asked maybe more than once, like, Nate, what's been the most impactful episode the impactful interview that you had the opportunity to do over the years? And to be clear, it's a little bit difficult to nail it, you know, to kind of narrow it down to just one, because there have been countless opportunities that I've had to do interviews where I'm like, I finish and it feels good. I feel an impact, or I'm reminded of something that I need to work on myself, or I'm inspired to go try something, or I learned something that I hadn't heard before. But the episode that probably made the biggest tangible impact on me was an episode that I did with Sean Lee. And I'm pulling this up on screen here, but this is episode 464, Developing a Brand That Makes a Difference. And you can search this on any popular podcast platform out there with Sean Lee, spelled S-H-A-W-N-L-E-E. But Sean is an amazing example to all of us. Make sure you go listen to that episode and follow him on Facebook and see what he's doing. Because the guy doesn't just come on a show and talk and make himself sound good and then go about his life. He practices what he preaches. And it was extremely humbling to listen to Sean talk about the way that he has prioritized giving to his community, looking for opportunities to add value to his community, to serve his community, certainly through photography, but just as a general principle. And I was reminded of how little I was doing at the time. Certainly I'd looked for opportunities and was actively giving, but it hit me hard enough that I'm like, you know what, I need to do more. And I did. And I made change in my behavior at that point. I think this is a good note to end not only this episode, but the book of podcast on, because at the end of the day, certainly this podcast has been about looking for opportunity to add value to the lives of the photography industry and anybody else who wants to listen in as well. But I think as photographers over the last 15, 20 years, it's been interesting to watch the industry shift. When I first started, it was still the film days. And I was here in Tennessee, so this is a more traditional market and culture at the time, unlike California that was starting to develop photojournalism and wedding photographers were starting to become cool people. Here, I was seeing kind of the old school wedding photography and portrait photography world. And it was, you know, it was kind of that stereotype, the kind of boring, gruff personality with the medals around their neck and the fancy framed photos in the studio. And there just wasn't a lot of personality behind it. Unfortunately, our industry started to shift into one that was more open and friendly, and there was more personality tied into the brand. Unfortunately, though, much like so many things in our culture, it seems, we went to an extreme. So we went from this place where there wasn't a whole lot of talk about the photographer. It was just about showing up and doing this job and having, you know, some kind of title behind your name, to now just endlessly focusing on ourselves and our personality and talking about our history in photography. You land on a photographer's website and they're talking about about their backstory and the coffee that they like to drink and how they'd like to go and walks with their dogs and the thing that they like to do with their partner. And we went to the other extreme and the focus is on ourselves. Not only that, as I, you know, peruse Facebook and photography groups and so forth, the thing that sticks out in my mind over time, and I don't know that it's ever gone away, is this kind of obsession with how clients should feed us when we go to weddings. I speak about weddings because, of course, I was a wedding photographer for about 10 years. But certainly this principle could be applied more generally to any part of the photography world. When we are so focused on ourselves and what we want and how we should be treated, rather than focusing on how we can serve others, the way that Sean so beautifully demonstrated, and again, not just in the podcast episode, but is demonstrating in his life, we miss out on a level of fulfillment and happiness that really can't be gotten any other way. And so as, again, we close out the Boca podcast, we close out this episode today, I want to encourage you to look, to first of all, to shift. If you've kind of allowed the mentality to become a little bit more self-centered and more self-focused and kind of egotistical. I've certainly been guilty of that so many times. To shift from that to an attitude and a focus on looking for opportunities to serve, whether it's your clients, to those closest to you that are around you on a day-to-day basis. It's easy sometimes to kind of glaze over them for the sake of our business and our business efforts. Look for opportunities to serve. Look for opportunities to add value. Look for opportunities to give to your community. Look for opportunities to donate to various charities that can make an impact. Look for opportunities to serve, to give, to add value to the lives of those around you. Sean Lee is such a beautiful example of that. And I have to give a shout out to Sean for that episode and the impact that he made in my life. Again, I would encourage you all to go listen to that episode. I think it'll make a really big impact on your life as well. In closing, and to that note, I've had the question asked, are we going to keep the Boca Podcast content online? Absolutely. It's going to continue to live, first of all, at bokapodcast.com, B-O-K-E-H podcast.com. And then, of course, in all the podcast players out there, you'll be able to continue to see the episodes there. This live stream, of course, will immediately, or does live now even, on Facebook and YouTube. But we'll be pushing this episode out by the end of today, actually, to all the audio platforms, so you can listen to that there as well. That's it. And that's so weird to say after this many episodes and this many years. It's been a privilege, y'all. Thank you so much. Thanks to all of our listeners. Thanks to all of our guests for the time that you gave to the show. Thanks to our producers behind the scenes for making this show happen as well. And thank you, beautiful photography industry. It's been a privilege to connect with you. I'm here. Don't be shy. Shoot me a DM. I'm going to continue to be working with Photographers Edit and Chizu. So you can look for me there as well. Thank you so much for listening to this show. Go look for opportunities to not only create freedom and flexibility in your life, but ultimately to give, to serve, to add value to the lives of those around you. See y'all.